In recent days, I have read two statements that caught my attention. One was the one I shared with you this morning to tell you about the lesson tonight. He who treats his wife like a thoroughbred will seldom have a nag for a wife. I think that statement says a lot. The other statement is that marriages are not made in heaven. They come in kits and must be put together. Now, I know and you know that God joins together, and in that sense, a marriage is recognized and made in heaven. But they come in kits and must be put together. I wish I had the training of men like Darrell Hilliard and Mike Cravens in the area of the family. I wish I had the experience of men like Elvis Hufford and E. Ray Jerkins, who have worked with so many families down through the years. I don't have either. But I do believe that I, as you, am capable of observing and in some instances experiencing through working with others some of the things that happen and some of the things that need to happen in family relationships. And so tonight I want to share with you for just a few minutes some very simple thoughts, but thoughts that are biblical, based upon scriptures that I will share with you. And toward the end of the lesson, share with you something else that I read recently that I thought was exceptionally good, dealing with communications. Communications in the area of marriage and the family. We're talking about growth. I'm convinced more and more that love is something that has to grow. I do not believe that love is something that just stands still. I have shared with you before one definition of love that went something like this: love is a pearl that grows out of pain and time. And if there is anywhere that applies, it applies in the area of the love that is to be there between a husband and a wife. Love is a pearl that grows out of pain and time. Not too long ago, I was sitting at a mall observing people as Judy shopped. That's one of my pastimes while she's shopping. And I have found that I can learn about as much just sitting and observing as anything I can do. But I saw something that almost brought tears to my eyes. I saw an older couple. I would guess them to be in their 80s. She was on a walker, just barely able to make one step after another. And he, and I didn't have to ask if it was her husband, I knew just by looking. He was walking along beside her using a cane himself, but steadying her. And I watched them till they got in the car. And I would guess, I didn't know them, I didn't ask, I would guess they had been married 60 years. And I had emphasized in my thinking again that love is something that grows between a husband and a wife. I have had the experience many, many times through the last years of sitting in a hospital room or a room at home and watching one of the couple involved pass from this life and see the other one whose heart is torn asunder sitting there, maybe doing nothing but holding the mate's hand. At a time when it is probably past the possibility of that mate hearing anything, but still expressing words of love to that one with whom he or she has lived for 50 or 60 years. I have never in my life seen any love that topped the love that Brother H.C. Christopher gave to his wife. love that you and I saw as he brought her into the church building, even when she didn't even know where she was, would take her out to eat and feed her bite after bite when she didn't realize what was going on, and was able to take care of her at their house until she died. Folks, that's love. And that's love that has grown through pain and through time. And that's the kind of love that we can have in every one of our families if we'll get back to God's Word and the principles of common sense. Whether we have been married 10 days or 60 years, we can get back to living and acting in such a way that our love can grow. It hurts to hear so many comments made about so many in the church, some that I know personally and some I don't even know who's being discussed, that are having problems between husband and wife, between two Christians, between two people who are supposed to be first dedicated to God completely and next dedicated to each other completely. And I think you would agree with me that in the last few years, this seems to be more common, even within the church. And in many instances where people who have been married for several years are beginning to experience additional problems, someone suggested to me a while back that there are more people celebrating their 25th wedding anniversaries now than a few years ago because so many of them don't stay together to reach the 50th. That's a problem. And to take the time to discuss all the related problems associated with this would take more time than we have this evening. The one point that I want to emphasize more than anything else, and that I want to really try to get into our minds tonight more than anything else, is that love between a husband and a wife must grow. I made the statement this morning in talking about the growth of the church that if we don't grow, we slide back. And I believe it applies in this lesson this evening. If we don't grow in our love as a husband and a wife, we'll slide back. And many times there's a tendency for us to quit showing our love shortly after the marriage, like we showed it when we were dating and when we were courting. And I realize that we show love in different ways, and I think we need to be careful in judging people. Other people may not show their love exactly the way that you and I show it. My dad, for example, was not one who showed his love in a way that many people show it, and yet he had his ways, and there was no question about his love and how his love grew for my mother and for us in the family. But folks, we need to learn that love must grow. And going back to that statement that marriages are not made in heaven, they come in kits and must be put together. We need to recognize that a great deal of the responsibility as well as opportunity falls upon us as husbands and wives. We may be sometimes looking for a fantasy situation, and it doesn't exist. You don't pick up a book somewhere and read of a perfect marriage and that's it, unless you pick up God's Word, which in reality, if we understood and applied it all, would give us marriages that would come close to perfection, as close as we as human beings could. We've got to put it together. And those of us who have good marriage relationships need to determine that we're just going to keep on keeping on trying to use God's principles and help our love to be stronger and stronger and stronger. And those of us who are having problems need to sit down and talk and pray and determine that we're going to go to God's Word and get help, and if necessary somewhere else, and get help to help our love to get back on track and to grow as it ought to. There needs to be growth in the love between a husband and a wife. I want to suggest to you four things that I believe are scriptural, come from God's Word, that can help us to do that. And that is, number one, each partner in a marriage, in order to have the love to grow, must love that partner more than his parents or her parents. You know that. I know it. And yet sometimes maybe we need to back up and ask the question, do we? You know what Matthew 19 says, that a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they're to be one flesh. You heard it probably when you were married somewhere in the ceremony, and you have heard it again and again and again. And yet sometimes I wonder if we believe it. My mother is still living. My dad was living up until 98, was sick for 4 or 5 years. A lot of concern, a lot of needs. But there was never a time that I should have shown my love to my dad and mother that was above my love for my wife. And of course, if the husband-wife love and relationship is like it ought to be, they can work together and help take care of the needs of the parents. We are to honor our parents. We are to take care of them. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, 1 Timothy 5, 8 through 16. There's no question about that. But folks, we need to learn even before we're married. And young folks, listen to this. We need to learn before we're married that when we take a husband or a wife next to God only, that person is to be loved and respected more than anybody else and more than everybody else that exists today or has ever existed or will ever exist. I believe right there is where growth in spousal love has got to begin. Now, we'll have responsibilities to our parents. Certainly we do not forsake them. And I do not believe even when Jesus says we're to hate our parents in order to love him, that it's real hate. He's comparing it there and saying the love we're to have for him is so much greater, and it's that way with the spouse. You are to love your husband or your wife more than you have ever do or will ever love your parents. And if you don't, it's going to be hard for your love to grow. Number two. A man and a woman should love a husband or a wife more than they love their children. Now, if you want to talk about a hard commandment, we're getting to it. I have seen, and you have too, a husband or a wife take the side of the children if there is a discussion or a disagreement in the family against the spouse, and maybe in the presence of the children, put down the mother or the father, the husband or the wife. And there are times when it is extremely difficult not to let the urgent needs of the children keep us from showing the love that we ought to show for a husband or a wife. And here again, if all the relationships are in place, there's no problem. And there may be times during sickness that a husband or a wife may willingly give up that which is rightfully his or hers in order for the other partner to be more involved with the children, and maybe they can work together in doing this. But you know, it bothers me a little bit when I go to the hospital to see a newborn baby, and all in the world the husband can talk about or the father can talk about is the child. His wife has just gone through one of the most difficult times in life and has brought into existence a newborn child that belongs to the two of them. And sometimes he'll never even look at his wife or never even say anything to her. All he can think about is that child. And many of us who go visiting, if we're not careful, pay more attention to the newborn than we do to the new mother. I believe the Bible teaches in several places that we are to put our love for the spouse even ahead of our children. If you noticed in that passage that John read a few minutes ago, the older women are to teach the younger women, and there's a list of things. And I sort of doubt that it was by accident that he said first to love your husband, and then he said to love your children. Husbands, if we don't love our own wives even more than we love our sons and daughters, we need to stop and think. And mothers, you don't need to quit being mothers. But you don't need to quit being a wife to be a mother. And if I understand these passages, the spouse is to come first. You remember back in 1 Samuel 1, Hannah wanted a son so badly. There is a statement there in verse 8 that maybe we need to consider. Elkanah came to her and he said, "Am I not more to thee than 10 sons? Now, I don't know what was happening on that occasion. And I certainly don't think Elkanah wanted anything less for Hannah than what she was wanting. The indication is he was interested in that son, and especially after he was born, was interested in being a father. But he makes a statement that ought to get our attention. He says, Hannah, maybe you ought not spend all of your time thinking about a son. I'm your husband. Am I not worth more to you than 10 sons? Whatever else is involved in the family, the love that you and I as husbands have for our wives ought to come before anything else. Of course, we understand we're not talking about the love to God on this point. And the love that each of you as a wife has for your husband ought to come before anything else in the family. And working together, if all the things are in proper place, you'll be able to take care of all those loves. In the third place, if love is going to grow between a husband and a wife, a husband must love his wife more than his own body. And a wife must love her husband more than her own body. Now there in Ephesians 5, he says a husband is to love his wife as his own body. And it's in the context of where Jesus gave himself for the church. But when you look at some other passages, particularly 1 Corinthians 7, 2 and 3 and 4, he indicates that a spouse is to love the mate more than he loves his own physical appetites and desires. There's an unusual statement there in that passage. The husband's body is not his, it belongs to the wife. The wife's body is not hers, it belongs to the husband. Now, certainly decency and health practices and common sense must be taken into consideration. But if I understand that passage in the right way, he's saying that as a man who's married, you need to be more concerned about even the physical needs of your wife than you do your own. And to a woman who is married, she needs to be more concerned about the physical needs of her husband than her own needs. Here again, it'll take care of itself if both of them have the kind of love that they ought to. That's where this mutual love comes together and really gives us the growth pattern that's needed. But he says you are to love your spouse more than you love your own body and your own physical needs. That's not an easy commandment. That's exactly what he's saying. And yet, if we're not careful, even when we go into the marriage relationship, we are thinking more in terms of what am I going to get out of it? What appetites am I going to be able to satisfy? And that's where they are to be satisfied in that marriage relationship. But right in the middle of that, where he talks about rendering to each other due benevolence, love, affection, he says you're to love your mate more than you love your own body and its physical needs. And we have that kind of love, it'll be growing. And let's expand that just a little bit more. I believe this passage and others teach that a person is to love his or her spouse more than any personal desire or personal need. Don't you know of men who will leave their wife in order to go involve self in some kind of recreation? Don't you know of cases where a spouse has put the job before the wife or the husband? And sometimes some of these decisions are not easy, and it takes this mutual love to work out some of these difficulties. If we put things before a spouse, we're not growing in the kind of love that we ought to have. There ought not to be a thing on this earth that I want, no matter how badly I want it, that I'm willing to put ahead of my relationship with my wife and my love for her. And I really believe, folks, when we get right back to this nitty-gritty of God's Word, and we learn to love our spouse more than our parents, even more than our children, more than our own personal appetites, and more than any personal thing we want, we will begin to understand the kind of love that's involved in giving. And that's the kind of love that's involved in growing. I received a bulletin back in May that on the front of the bulletin, this came from congregation in Memphis, Great Oaks Church. And on the front of the bulletin was printed a marriage communication contract. And down at the bottom, there's a place for a date and to be signed by the husband and the wife. And then there was a question, could I sign this agreement? And I sat and read it and thought about it. I want to share it with you tonight. We, the undersigned, as equal parts to this contract, each do hereby agree. I agree communication is the basis of a good marriage relationship, and I will take action to build up our person-to-person communication. I agree to be as honest as I possibly can with both you and myself. I will not withhold information about my behavior or actions. You have full right to know the person to whom you are married. I agree that I will listen, and I see Judy nodding her head, to what you have to say without interrupting you. When it is my time to talk, I anticipate the same from you. I agree that I will first look for things to criticize about myself before I criticize you. Before I complain to you, I will name some fault of mine that, if corrected, would make me a better marriage partner. I agree that sex is a significant level of communication and that I have sexual responsibility in our marriage. Our sexual relations will never be used as a means of reward or punishment. I agree that direct communication is essential, and I will not try to use vague or unclear language or talk through the children, but will specifically say what I mean. I agree that communication is best on a verbal level. I will not try to send messages by banging doors, throwing things, or by other nonverbal means. I agree not to use silence as a way of punishing or defying you, but only as a means of encouraging you to express yourself. I agree not to expect miracles in the improvement of our marriage. There is a great deal you need to know about me and I about you before our marriage can really grow and mature. I will make every effort to work toward mutual understanding and sharing. I agree that one of the most effective methods of communication is by example. I will do my very best to improve myself and to communicate better so I can grow into a positive model of a marriage partner. Again, I suggest that marriages are not made in heaven. They come in kits and must be put together. And if you and I will learn to grow in our love for each other in the husband-wife relationship, to where we love each other more than parents, children, physical needs, and things, and second only to our love for God, we together as a husband and a wife, who by the way are to be one, can meet any challenge that comes with God's help, and our love can grow, whether it's in plenty or want, whether it's in good times or bad, and we can have marriages that can bring us happiness, sometimes with tears, in this life, and help each other go to heaven. That's what marriage is about, that's what growth and love is about, and that's what we need. And let me tell you something. If you don't remember anything else I've said tonight, there is nothing that you can do that will help your married love to grow more than being a Christian. Not calling yourself one, not having your name as one, but being a Christian in every sense of the word. If you're not, you can express your belief in repentance and be baptized into Christ tonight. And if you've not been living like one and you need to make public penitence, you can do that tonight, even now, as together we stand and sing.
Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam?